Hello? I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call.
Hello, ballers, and welcome to the SC Ballers Podcast. I am your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Well, we are at everyone's favourite week of the year, Magic Round, otherwise known as Round 9 of NRL Supercoach. For those lucky enough to be making the pilgrimage to Brisbane, more specifically the Suncorp Stadium Precinct, aka Caxton Street and surrounds, it provides the opportunity for vibe picks, catching up with old friends, and making a few new ones. Round 8 was meant to be the sleepy precursor to Magic Round, but instead, it dished up one of the highest Supercoach scoring rounds of the season, and actually, of all time, with some monster scores across the round, including tons from popular fullbacks James Tedesco and Scotty Drinkwater. Finally, how can we start the pod without mentioning Sandon Smith, 129 of the absolute best Supercoach points you will ever see, leaving his owners and non-owners about as far away from each other on a Supercoach spectrum as you can possibly get. Joining me tonight, it's third place overall finisher from 2014, coach of the Casabonitas, Danny Boy Ricks. Danny Boy, welcome to the SC Ballers Podcast.
Yeah, g'day, Matty. Excited for Magic Round. Can't quite make it over from London this year, but I bet you're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm making my debut up at Magic Round, so can't wait. Heading up there Friday. We'll get into a bit more detail on that in a little bit, but yeah, absolutely pumped to get up there for my first taste of it. How'd you go on the weekend?
Is that it? Oh, yeah, I didn't really want to talk about how I went on the weekend. Sitting Sandon Smith playing Tom Starley, and that was just hard to watch because that was the first game or the second game of the week, or, you know, early. And then I knew Starling wasn't going 100, even close to 130. So I think I worked out from the sit to starts and captain's choices, I lost about 150 points on the weekend. So I had a 12-20, very, very bad. Went back. It's been a bit of a yo-yo year, so I'm down to 2.5K from the top 1,000. So hopefully a big bounce back this week. Is that a bit of merch I see on you there, Matty?
It is. This is the first piece of baller merch we've released, Baller Alert. And as we can see here, Young GI down the bottom. So obviously a big homage to Young Garamat Shibasaki, Tubes' boy. And we're actually going to have a little bit of this merch floating around, but I'll tease that and we'll get to that in a little bit. Dan, I was just going to say it was actually a real kick in the dick for you as well, Starling losing that try assist as well. That was like the final nail in the Starling Sandon Smith coffin.
It was a very tough watch this week, and also not owning any Cowboys. I think I switched off in that second half. That was a very tough watch. I think the lesson this year is you've got to jump on with nearly be really short-sighted and go, they've got a massive game here. You've got to load up all for one or two games. I am very much about playing the long game. Looked at looking at round 12 a little bit too early, trying to stack for that. And it's probably cost me a fair few points.
Yeah, Drinky was certainly on the radar for a few last week, including myself. Also joining us tonight, our first ever guest from outside the SC Ballers inner sanctum, but I'm very, very pleased to welcome his highly active community member and one of the best Supercoach players out there. It's coach of Rugby League Realm, mate, welcome to the SC Ballers podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's quite the honour, the rap you've given me there. So, no, good to be here.
Let's kick off, mate, with how your team's travelling so far this season.
Look, it's been hot and cold, with probably a little bit more cold than I'd like. I'm currently sitting around 3.8K, which, considering after last round I was at 11K, I'm pretty happy with that spot for now. Ideally, this is the point where you want to be pushing into that top 1K area if you have any chance at fighting for any head-to-head leagues or overall cashies you might be in, or just even wanting to finish in the top 1K. This buy period coming up is going to be massive. But I think the biggest letdown for me so far has been my sit first starts or captaincies. Like, I worked out last week in a video I did alongside my content partner, Myth, that 4 out of 4 of my last 50-50 decisions I'd got wrong, and it cost me almost 350 points or something like that, which would have got me up to almost the 1K mark already. So it's just been on the wrong side of the coin toss.
Exactly, mate. And that's you. We can play this game to the best of our ability every week, but there is always going to be those coin tosses that you need to nail. And it's not about being right or wrong. It's just genuinely about being lucky on those ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it can only happen so many times. But last week I got about a 1490. So that was a bit redeeming. Got me back up into the pointy end. So, no, I'm happy. You just need to keep that momentum going.
Very good. And you mentioned your partner, Myth, and you guys have a subscription this year. And I can actually say that I'm a very proud subscriber of the Realm and Myth content. Where can the listeners and viewers find you guys, mate?
Yeah, so we work alongside the Supercoach Hub Discord server. So we, within the Discord server, we have our own private section. We post videos, articles, our own private chat that we're very active in. And it's a really good community we've gotten there, as I'm sure you could say so yourself. Yeah, it's really good. And, you know, working alongside Myth is really handy. He's probably debatably the best Supercoach player out there. You know, he's played for 14 years, finished top 500 in 7 of them, multiple top 100 finishes, top 50 finishes. So it's really handy having him there.
Yep, I can absolutely attest to that. The advice in there, and as a very active Supercoach player myself, you never know it all. And I always hunt in there for a bit of advice when I've got key decisions. So absolutely love, like you said, the community. I think more broadly, like the Supercoach community just keeps going from strength to strength. It's really sort of that non-competitive vibe. Everyone's just out there to make the game bigger and better. And that's certainly what we're trying to power here at the SC Ballers as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're trying to do. And you see with the Supercoach Hub, that's kind of their ultimate goal, is to get everyone collaborating with each other and basically just making it one big community. And I have no doubt Baller's going to be involved with that.
Yeah, absolutely. We're loving stepping it up this year. It's been a lot of fun. All right, let's get into the plugs and admin for the week. I should mention that I scored a 1397, 1395 before we get out of there. Good enough to take me to 58th overall. So absolutely pumped to be ranked up with the top teams. Still can't be the top ranked SC Baller though. Dan, I don't know, Chris C-Max, coach of C-Max 86ers, my God, up to 6. This is getting a bit scary, isn't it?
Yeah, like I'm kind of looking at this year as just like, I just want to verse you two. If I'm going well against you two, I'm going to be right up the top. And C-Max in 6th now, right? And he smashed me. He smashed me by about 300 points. Like, he's just not having any low weeks. His team looks phenomenal. It's so funny this week. I know Jono asked me about my sort of trade, you know, who to trade sort of thing. He asked me 2 days ago, and then he just in our web, in our WhatsApp chat, he's just asked Chris. So he's obviously not taken my my opinion too.
Mate, he's getting all the 50-50 calls right. He's got the hot hand with the captaincy. But yeah, his team looks sensational. He's already got Eli Katoa and Olakuatu up at 2RF, which is a pretty tricky position, and he's got all the guns at centre wing as well. So good work, mate. Keep it going. Looking forward to seeing you up at Magic Round this weekend. So baller.live, make sure you go check out for live score updates during the games over the weekend. We'll have more coming soon, which we'll keep announcing. We launched projections last week. So the baller projections, these are the best projected scores in Supercoach. We'll be doing more and more content around them, including some up at Magic Round this weekend. And we're also launched the Projection Power Hour last week as well on Twitter, which got massive take up. The big king of that was Sandon Smith, who was projected 59, which was a lot higher than most Supercoaches had him in for. So Dan, I think you're just going to have to take a little bit more notice of these projections.
Yeah.
The Q&A pod this Thursday, Dan, I presume you'll be back for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Put you on the spot here. Yep.
No, I like it.
Please get your questions in on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube, as well as TikTok. We are continuing to blow up on TikTok. We've just gone past the 500 followers mark, and going bananas there. Tubes with the real star of the show, as per usual. Finally, league update. So 730-7300-444 for the SC Ballers League. We've just nudged up to 1700 in that league. Probably going to keep that open up until the buys. So please get involved there. $5,000 worth of prizes, $3,000 for first. And I can't remember what we got for the placings, but top 5 or 6 will be winning some cashola. Anthony, coach of Feb Dogs, has hit the lead in that. He's 5th overall. Just one spot ahead of our very own Chris, who is sixth. And a special shout out to Jake, who I think might even be new in the league, but he's the coach of Flatty Hunters FC. He is 12th overall. All guys had big scores on the weekend.
Just having a look at the SC Ballers League here, the team coming in eighth, the Supreme team coached by Jason, he's coming 50th overall, but last week he was coming about 1,500. So he scored almost a 1,642. So I think that deserves a shout out in itself.
Absolutely. There's some of these scores on the weekend, like if you nailed all those sit starts, like you mentioned, Realm, and you got the captain right on Teddy or Drinky, it's a bit like this every week at the moment. Like there are some really consistent players who, like, I feel like I'm having bad weeks, but because you've got the sort of the Watsons or the Tinos and the you can see, you know, Karaz and Herbie and all these guys, like teams are getting really strong really quick this year, I'm finding, and it's going to be hard to make up that ground.
I was unbelievably close to getting a 1,600 last week. There was one pod that I really, really liked, and I got talked out of it by basically everyone that I talked to in the week leading up to it, and that was Tom Dearden. I would have been hitting about the 1,600 mark there and who knows, pushing the top 1K from 11K.
Yeah, that's a... We had a chat about him, didn't we, Dan, on the pod? Like, he was definitely findable. And that Cowboys draw for Origin players isn't too bad either. And he's not going to be a heavily involved player. He'll be 18th man or maybe a bench spot.
Yeah, that's, I would assume 18th man, which means he misses the major buy rounds, which for the Cowboys I don't think is too awful because he misses the first one regardless.
It's 12 anyway.
But then he plays all the mini ones regardless.
Correct. Which is going to be the... Which you are, like, that'll lead into our ball blueprint chat in a minute, but we'll save that for then. I mentioned our projections. We have a competition this week. If you would like to get your hands on a Baller Alert Young GI t-shirt that I am fashionably sporting this evening, I need you to come and find me at Magic Round. I'll probably be wearing this shirt or a Sharks jersey, one or the other. But come and find me at Magic Round. We'll be on Caxton Street Friday and Saturday. I'll be carrying around in tow a couple of these Young GI shirts. And you just have to let me know that Young GI Shibasaki's projected score this week at Magic Round is 55. And the first two people that find me will be coming and winning that shirt. So large and medium. So if you're bigger than a large, you might be in a bit of danger, but you can give it to your girlfriend. So yeah, looking forward to seeing everyone up there at Magic Round this weekend and looking forward to giving away a couple of shirts. And come find me and Chris and producer Gramsy. We'll be hanging out. Realm, I know you're heading along as well.
Well, yeah, never miss Magic Round. That's the yearly thing. I take it off work. I'm there all weekend.
How good. Can't wait. All right, let's get into the Baller Blueprint, which is our strategy segment, of course. And tonight we're going to have a little bit of chat about AEs, auto emergencies. Now, some super coaches out there might not know a lot about auto emergencies, but basically what they are is if you have a player in your 18, in your selected 18, who doesn't play for any reason, you will get one auto emergency player, and that will come from the rest of your squad, and it will be the lowest scoring player from the rest of that squad. They will count just like any other player into your 18. If the lowest score is higher than another squad member in your team, that squad member will drop out of your best 17. So it's a little bit tricky if you haven't played much before, but they are important to understand and understand how to use them. So Dan, I just wanted to go into kick this off, starting with what's changed with AEs this year. And the big thing that's changed with them is that 18th player dropping out. And it's kind of made it a lot more viable to take an AE, whether it's for a vice captaincy loop, or even if you've just got a player injured in a two position. So what I mean by that is hooker, you have two players available at hooker, halfback and 5'8". I just want to talk a little bit about that and the viabilities of AEs this year.
Yeah. So initially at the start of the season, we did a bit of a sort of a stat deep dive on last year. And personally for my team, I looked at when I did loop, what happened with the AE coming in and was it larger score than my lowest scoring player on the field. And a lot of the times it was. So the worry of having too many AEs is they're going to have too many low scores. Only having one AE come in for, say, a captain loop at the moment that can drop out, I guess. And then you're, I mean, the flex just makes it so much more useful this year for that. So whereas before you were going to, you know, get a sub 20 score, and then there's always a HIA or an injury or something like that, and then that's the risk of a sub 20 score. So as you said, like, there's not much more to say on that. You're going to, it's much better with the flex this year. But you still don't want too many. I think as soon as, say, one of your cheapies on the bench has maxed out in cash, there's no reason to keep them there, even if it's a low score. And then you still don't want that AE being sort of that lowest score. This year, I don't know, Realm, you probably noticed, like, a lot of the AEs aren't that bad. There's so much cash coming through, and most of them are getting 30s and 40s.
Yeah, like, we've been quite lucky, it seems, that the guys that are going to the bench, like a Dylan Egan type or something like that, they're still pumping out 40, 50 minutes and getting a respectable score. Who knows when that turning point's going to be, but I do just want to, I know there's going to be another reference to Myth and myself, but this was something we talked about a lot in the preseason as well. And Myth went back through his team last season and worked out kind of roughly what it would have been like having the 18th player drop out and the AEs that would have come in hypothetically and things like that. And you know, 8 out of 27 rounds, the lowest score in his side was a player that got injured early. So, again, hugely relevant. If we're getting AEs that are dropping 20s and 30s, they're not going to be dropping out if someone's getting injured, which we are seeing a lot as well this season. So, you know, the big takeaways that we found was to definitely tread with caution around the idea of sacrificing places, thinking that if an 18th man drops out, that it doesn't matter because, you know, that's the lowest score gone anyway. But with the amount of injuries and the amount of low scores we're seeing this season, it is just a bizarre season all in all. Like, teams are winning when they're not supposed to. Players aren't scoring in matchups when they definitely shouldn't be. Just absolutely crazy things. So I think preparing for the worst is probably the best way to attack that.
Yeah, certainly AEs as a general rule, you don't want to have to take an AE. Obviously, the vice captaincy loop is generally the most common time that you will take an AE, and I have done that. I think that's actually really opened up the vice captaincy loop this year, more so than usual with that low score dropping out. And as Dan said, we sort of have a little bit higher floor for AEs this week. It'll be interesting once Lincoln King Togia comes in and he becomes a bit of an AE issue, but I wanted to just speak specifically to the situation that some super coaches might face next week, where they might have two roosters at hooker, Connor Watson and Sandon Smith. And Realm, that's really a scenario where you might go, rather than have to make a trade at hooker, I might just take an AE this week and try and get through. And then, you know, if I want to sell Connor Watson later, or he doesn't get picked for Origin, like, seems very unlikely, but that you might get a situation like that where you go, okay, just for 1 week, because don't want to make the trade. And that's probably going to happen later in the season as well, when people are lower on trades. It is viable to take an AE in that scenario, if not ideal.
Absolutely. Like, I myself, my hooker situation now is Sandon Smith and going. So I've got enough up there regardless. And my decision on whether or not I want to buy a hooker next week, or, you know, what I really want to do there will depend upon what my VC does. So if I'm looping next week, you know, that's easy. I can captain a going or Sandon Smith, not have to touch hooker and continue on as is. But if my VC, just hypothetically, if it was a Newcastle player or something that's playing early, then, you know, I would be looking to force that trade. It's annoying though, because the real good hooker that I'd want throughout the bye period is probably like a JMK, and he does play the first game, so it does cause a bit of a headache there. But I think just to not have to force the use of a trade, I probably would just wait on it and see what my VC does first.
Yeah, and you also get a bit of a look at what your potential AEs might be scoring as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. So and we are going to be short on players next week, because, like, most of us are stacked to the eyeballs with roosters, probably a minimum of four. Some teams five. So there's a chance that you might even not have to worry about your AE, because you might not have a hooker, but your 18th man is just going to be your only other player.
Absolutely. Like, before trades this week, I'm missing going Simpkins. If Kant's still not in the top 17, I'm missing him as well. Jaden Campbell. And then I've got five roosters. So that's nine already out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be tough next week. We can need some planning.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's leave it there, because it's could probably talk all day about this. It's the most, it's one of the most niche subjects in one of the most niche fantasy games. So we'll leave it there. But let's get on to our positional analysis now, guys. And we're going to start up the top again, fullback. Plenty to talk about at fullback. We're going to talk about ownership in the context of the top 10% again, just given that they're the most active group of super coaches. Big shout out to Tubes, who is still not in the top 10%, which he let me know last week. he thought this was having a dig at him, which I cannot confirm nor deny. And welcome Jono into the top 10%. Good work, mate. So, Dan, fullback, Scotty Drinkwater, the big talking point, 132 on the weekend. He's currently 37.5% owned, thanks to 16% of super coaches bringing him in this week. How much of a priority is he for you as a non-owner?
I feel like I've missed the boat. I feel like that was the week to bring him in was last week. I went chips in on King Gutho having a bounce back, which he didn't. Again, he's got a high break even this week. Do I just keep riding and hope for the best? I don't necessarily think Warriors is an extremely good matchup for the Cowboys. I still think they're very leaky in, the Cowboys are very leaky in defense. I think the Warriors can play a very defensive game as well. So I'm going to miss him. And it could be the defining call of my season, actually. I think it could be. I can't see him going under 50, but I can see a world where he goes 130 again.
Yeah, I think definitely. There are plenty of tickets left personally on the Scotty Drinkwater bus. He has that great Origin draw where they miss round 12, but then play all the then they don't play it, then they don't miss anything else from there. I don't think he's going to get a lot cheaper. Realm, Clint Gutherson is probably the really key piece here, because owners are selling in droves, mostly to Drinkwater. If you're in that situation, I'm not actually sure of your fullback situation, but as a
Gutherson, I've got Gutherson, and I'm about 50-50 on selling him this week. So yeah, I've got Gutherson myself.
Or have you already got Drinkwater as well?
Look, I don't have Drinky, and he's one that I talked up a lot last week, and I really liked him. And to, you know, all my mates and stuff, or subs who had messaged me and asked what to do or who to bring at fullback, I suggested Drinkwater. Said he's my favorite captaincy option for the week as well. So I'm happy to get that call right, even if I'm not the one owning him and captaining him. But do I think he's too far gone? No. He's very gettable, and his next three games, he's got Suncorp, then Townsville, then the bye. I think the reason why he's not an absolute must now is that the round 12 bye. You know, if I can get someone at the moment, for me, because I'm playing a little bit of a catch up here, sitting around the 4K mark, I'm really aiming for these bye periods, and that's where I'm really going to attack it. So for me, if I can pair hypothetically a different fullback or a center wing, if I can go a Herbie or a Carraz or a Fletcher Sharp, who's playing that 12 game and get that leg up in that matchup, and then still be able to get Drinkwater from round 13 or round 15 onwards, I think that's more than play on.
I think is this week or then round 13. And there are so many center wing fullback options that you can absolutely stack for round 12. With the likes of Fletcher Sharp that has that jewel to go to the fullback and have him there. So, yeah, I think if you're going to get on the Drinky train, it's got to be this week, or you've got to probably wait it out until round 13.
Are you going to hold Gutho, Dan? And same question to you, Realm, following that.
I'm going to hold him this week, and he's probably out next week or the week after, depending on how he goes this week.
Like I said before, I'm 50-50. The matchup on the Tigers looks a bit better this week than it did the, you know, first 6 weeks of the season. And the new half, I don't know how that's going to gel, but I'm sure he'll be used better. Because, you know, Filano and Ilias just weren't going to Gutho at all for the last month, whereas, you know, something might change this coming week. But at the same time, I think it'll depend what I do with the other players, just because I am quite worried about that round 10 round, just because I've already, like I said before, missing so many players. So yeah, it's a bit I'm a bit undecided at the moment. I'm not opposed to selling whatsoever.
It's really tricky. Like, I'm an owner. I don't want him anymore, but the only one I want for him is Tedesco, and I just can't justify bringing in Tedesco this week at the price with the buy next week and then dogs round 11. I think round 12, like, Tedesco is just must have. Like, you're going to have to do whatever it sort of takes to get him in. Like, I'm really big advocate of attacking the upside players in buys, and I know you are too, Dan. You want to have those guys who can hit, who can hurt you, and they might not even be – Teddy obviously can hurt you at any time, but they might not always be the most obvious ones. Like, I know Jermaine Asako is sort of one that always does well in buys. Herbie, obviously, this year. But, yeah, I just can't – as a current Drinkwater owner, I'm just going to hold Gutho this week. It might not work out. Like Dan mentioned, like, a big defining call for him. I don't think it's quite that extreme for me on the Gutherson hold, but he certainly could leak a lot of cash still in the next 2 weeks. Very favourable game, so against the Tigers. And I think he's got – is that Warriors game next week?
Warriors up win next week for Gutho. Yeah,
so.
I will say, jump in, but with Tedesco, I do see a world where you can miss him up till round 15. So obviously he's got the bye next week, then he plays the Dogs, which is probably the two worst matchups you can come across this season, of the bye and the Dogs. Then round 12 he versus the Sharks, and that's the Sharks who really miss no one for Origin. Like, they might miss McInnes, but I know they missed him last year, and I think that's about it. And even then, I'll probably back McInnes not to be in Origin this season. So I think that's a full-strength Sharks side, and I believe that's an away game for the Roosters. Then follows it up with Canberra, that's not a great matchup, but Canberra are the best team against fullbacks this year. So they are averaging about 40 to fullbacks this season with a five-round average of about 49. That's excluding all goal-kicking and you know, working out who goes into the position if players are switched around, stuff like that. So, yeah, Canberra are the best against fullbacks. So, and then they've got the bye in round 14. So I think if you can pick him up round 15 against the Knights, and then he just misses 17 from there, I believe.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Like, the owners who did well to get on before last week or before, like, he had the Dragons, then Dolphins game. I think it was justifiable bringing him in last week. I don't think you can get him this week, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Dan, Isaiah Yongi, he's still very highly owned, 39.8%. He's been sold by just 3.8% of super coaches this week. He's 493K. I know you've been a long-time owner. You traded him last week. Or the week prior, I'm not sure. But where would you be standing as a Yongi owner right now? Would you be looking to get a bit more upside into that, or sort of just happy to ride him through this tricky little fullback period?
Obviously, getting rid of him 2 weeks ago, I haven't really thought about him ever since, really. So putting me on the spot a little bit with that.
That's your job. You're a podcast guest.
Yeah, it's a tough one this week with the plethora of options available. I think Drinky would be like a priority to get up to. I think the young 5'8 that's come in, that's going to open up a world of cash for people who are still holding Jaden Campbell. I probably think you can hold him in that third fullback position and then really upgrade, really get strong, say, in the second row, or get some of those premium center wings for the buyers this week. So I don't necessarily mind the hold, but I'm certainly – and I don't think this week is particularly great for all the gun fullbacks as well. There's a lot of even money games. Mm. Like, there's not huge amounts of, like, absolute bully games this week. And he showed a lot of promise with Moses back. So I really like him as a young player. I think he will be a very, very good NRL first grade player. So, yeah, if you've still got him, maybe just hold on and enjoy the ride.
Gee, the commentators love him. They never shut up about how good he is. But obviously the output hasn't quite been there yet. Realm, Kalen Ponga, 538K. This has got to be one of the strangest ones ever. Hasn't gone over 50 for 5 weeks. The Knights are decimated in terms of form. He's still 38% owned in the top 10%, and only 1% have sold, which got to give the super coaches a lot of credit there. He's certainly still, I think if you own him and you've come this far, it's a very, very difficult sell at 539, 538K.
Absolutely. If I'm an owner of Caelan Ponga and you're now going into a run of South at Suncorp, Titans at home, Eels at home, you can't sell. Like, those are the best three matchups you could ask for against the teams that are conceding. The Power are conceding the most to fullback, South the third most. And, you know, Gold Coast, they have been terrible the last couple of weeks and just conceded a bunch to Scotty Drinkwater. This is the perfect time for Ponga to turn around, especially leading up to Origin. You know, there's all this talk about whether Hammer should go to fullback rather than Ponga because he's out of form. So you'd think you'd want to get a bit of a kick up the ass here. So yeah, I see him as more of a buy than a sell, definitely. And it's one that I haven't completely ruled out, but it's probably more on the unlikely side. But yeah, for people going for Ponga, it's a big balls play. It's you know, with the types of Dylan Lucas back as well, they've got some forward troops back too, could just lift the platform a little bit.
Dan, you must be happy to hear someone else's voice telling you to hold Caelan Ponga this week rather than mine for the last month.
Yeah, I think you sold him in round four, was it? Round four buy?
Round three.
I did the same thing as well. When he had the buy, I sold too.
I think you'd be probably ranked around where I am if you did there, Maddie. have to hold hope in Knights. The real big thing for me, as Realm alluded to, is the forward pack is much strengthened this week. Jacob Saifidi back, Adam Elliott on the bench. I think they've got a lot more that they're just going to have some consistent roll through. They can't go any worse. The attack, the makeup of the attack, how it's all working with Sharp, it doesn't excite me in the sense that it's just not looking cohesive there. But this forward pack rolling through, Ponga getting some quick early ball, if he gets that sort of first receiver and he gets momentum, we know he can kind of break the line at will. So, yeah, I'm hoping, and I would advise anyone out there to keep holding on, particularly for this week. Magic round, you know, pushing for that Origin spot. I think, you know, hopefully the stars are aligning and it's meant to be.
Yeah, I'm a big like, even when they beat the Dolphins in round two, I think it was, they really pumped them and they looked really good. Since then, Finns have gone on a great run and have sort of been one of the better performed teams in the NRL. I think it has to be something with the coach. I'm just their attack has just been impotent. Ponga, I think it's even hard to say he's looked disinterested because I don't think that's the case either. Like Jono mentioned on the Sunday pod, that his touches are actually up this year. So his involvement is there. It's not as if he's hanging around doing nothing. Let's just transition onto another Knights player in the similar context, Fletcher Sharp, who's actually had a ton of touches and looks very dangerous. He's quick. He's obviously a fullback by trade, played all his juniors at fullback. He's available at center wing, 587K, just under 8% owned in the top 10% realm. I know he's someone that you're really keen to get into your side quickly for this great run that the Knights have got coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just like I mentioned before, that the next three games for them are huge. Suncorp, and then Newcastle, as the locations, which are great grounds for those three games for them. And then the matchups as well against, you know, easier opposition than what they might have been coming up against. But I think the biggest appeal for me is why potentially you could go him over a Ponga type, even though Ponga's ceiling is so much more, is that buy run and, you know, what Sharp could be doing positionally during that buy run. So obviously the Knights don't have a buy now until round 18. And round 12, they play Penrith, who could be missing, you know, Cleary, Martin, Yeo, Edwards, Toto, the whole lot. Round 15, they're playing against the Roosters, who could be missing a few as well, like Lenu, Angus Crichton, those type of guys. And Shark could be playing fullback during that time. So I think having him there, and as well as with him in the flex, you're still able to VC and see. So for my side, I'd have Teddy and Pappy. I'm still able to VC and see those two while still having the flexibility with Dylan Lucas up in 2RF and Fletcher Sharp down there with his center wing duel, being able to move around people when needs be.
Yeah, even though it would most likely be in the flex, that does give you a lot of options. Fletcher Sharp, I've currently owned him in center wing and have for the last couple of weeks, 3 weeks actually, and yeah, so I've got about a low 60s average out of him, so I'm pretty happy with that because they've obviously got no attack. He's a bit of a sneaky base plus power monster.
Yeah, he's averaging about 50, isn't he?
Yeah,
in base power.
once the Knights do click into gear, and it is going to come, they can't average 6 points per game for the rest of the season. I think Sharp is a big chance to be beneficiary of that. And we even saw a couple of weeks ago, we had a try disallowed, which was a line break tackle bust try against the Sharks. And he would have pumped up for way more. So Dan, what I want to know though, and I'm sure the listeners do as well, like a pod like Fletcher Sharp, how would you prioritize him with that run against the more premium options like a Herbie Farnworth 720K and Jacob Carraz 681K?
Fletcher Sharp is the best buy this week out of all of them, even if you're not looking at price. I think Fletcher Sharp is the one to go. Like just the three round run is phenomenal. Fullback round 12, he is the best. As Realm said, I think I would definitely pick him up over Ponga this week, just because of that value you're going to get out of him. I am very keen to get him. I'm in my position, and probably a lot of people, I'm already stacked with Knights. So Marju, Dylan Lucas, Kalen Ponga. My plan is to substitute Kalen Ponga out for Sharp or Gutho for Sharp next week. So I want a piece of him as quick as I can. If you're not fully stacked with Knights, I would say bring him in as the number one center wing pick this week.
Yeah, and just on the back of that, sorry, the left halves, South's currently conceding the second most to left halves this season. That's with a average of almost 70, and that's excluding goal kicking as well, and a 5-round average of almost 72.
Yeah, wow. The Herbie and Jacob, Herbie and Carraz, I should say, call them by their proper supercoach names. Like we've spoken about ad nauseum for the last month, Realm. They're both still great buys. Like Carraz has got the matchup this week, 680K, price is right. I'd still be prioritizing him into my team. Looks like he's probably going to miss Origin as well.
I personally would be going Herbie. I just think, I mean, but you know, it's they could be exactly the same face value wise. They both have incredible base power, both averaging almost 60 base power. Carraz was on 2 points at halftime last week, getting demolished and finished the game mid 50s, which is ridiculous. But yeah, I personally think I'd be backing Herbie. I think there's a chance he'd be going fullback during the Origin period as well. And the shape they run for him over the last couple of weeks, since they, Wolf has just kind of told him to calm down, stay out on the edge, and they'll run the shape for him rather than him having to go through the middle and looking for the ball and just being everywhere. And it's been unbelievable. He's playing the sweep out on the left-hand side. It's going Nick Rima or Katoa to Hammer to Herbie, and then Herbie can decide what to do with it. And it's just so good to watch, and it's been terrifying as a non-owner. So I think if I'm choosing between the two of them, I'm personally leaving Herbie, just because Carraz is getting no ball in that right wing as well. Like, he is having to go search for it, which he does, and there's no lack of effort there. But they run no shape for the right wing whatsoever.
No. And, yeah, that's I was at the Souths game a couple of weeks ago, and that was very evident for Carraz. Yeah, I'm planning Herbie next week. They've got Parramatta next week. Obviously, a very good game. I'm trying to fix up second row this week. Otherwise, I'd be getting Herbie in. I'm already, as I said, I'm a Carraz and Sharp owner, so happy to just go with the crowd there.
I think you need all three, don't you? So at some stage, like it's going to be probably round 12. You need all three. They're all high ceiling guys. I think for this week, Carraz is probably a better option than Herbie just because you've got the Titans. I can say that because I've got Herbie already. And as you said, Realm, you know, he could have punched out 100 on the weekend if Hammer just passed him the ball to draw the fullback when he scored. So they're all great buys. I can't, you know, it is a little bit of a pick 'em, you know, a bit like a sit start. But I think most people should be planning to get all three of those guys for the first round 12 buy.
On the other end of the spectrum, one of the more popular trades this week is Tom Jenkins to Robert Derby, I think they call him. He's obviously coming off a massive ton against the Titans on the weekend. Prior to that, his scores had not been flattering, although I hadn't mind Realm what I'd actually seen from him. He's quite a goer, and his base is decent. He just really hadn't, the Cows hadn't really got him any good attacking ball, and obviously they hadn't been scoring a lot.
Yeah, I don't know how much I love it. Like, I understand cash wise, and you know, with his show now, he's got a big ceiling. It's just before, like, he's going to have so many low games. Reminds me a bit of Addo Carr. Like, his highest before this was a 48 with a try. Other than that, other than the hat trick and that one try, he hadn't scored in the other three games. So unless the Cows are putting 50 on teams, it's hard to see him scoring above a 70. So I think this is a trade. Yeah, he's going to make you money in the short term, possibly get to, you know, 50K, 500K if he's scoring again this week with the negative 46 BE. But I just don't love it, especially with him missing the first major buy. This is I'm just kind of in the mindset myself where if I'm bringing players in now, they have to be absolute out of this world guns if they're missing the round 12 buy, or they are playing through the buy period.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I don't particularly like him as a buy this week either, Dan. He doesn't really fit my plans, but these center wing slots are just an absolute premium this year already. Usually we're sort of at about round 18, 19 when that's the case. But I honestly, if you're bringing Darby in, that means you're really probably bringing him in till at least round, obviously round 11 at a bare minimum, but probably you want him for 13. So I just don't know. I just don't know that you want to carry him for probably a 45 average, maybe 50.
Yeah. Are we also convinced he keeps the spot over Braden Burns?
That's true. Yeah, he's going to come back from a hamstring, I think, soonish. Darby for me feels like Jesse Arthurs in round three. So, but right now everyone's got cash, so you don't need a Jesse Arthurs type. You don't need to be generating, and a lot of the other guys. So it's absolutely stacked in center wing. So I would definitely be, and you're never really going to play Darby over the plethora of center wings that you've got already. So, I mean, yeah, you might play him, but then you're probably sacrificing another guy who could bink a tongue. And we know Darby's probably got a 20 or 30 inning. So, yeah, I'm leaving him alone.
Yeah, I think going down, I think Tom Jenkins is obviously a sell now. For whatever reason, he's just dropped off the face of the earth from a base power-wise, and obviously had a few issues with Casey McLean as well along the journey. But I just don't think you should be going down at center wing. I think you should be going up. You can find other positions to go down moving forward. One of those positions, I'm getting good at this, 5'8". Now, Jaden Campbell is still very highly owned amongst top super coaches, and that is because there are just not a lot of options to go to. So Tom Dearden, as you mentioned, Realm, is one of the more popular bring-ins this week for Campbell. Dylan Brown, 626K, he's sort of popular too. Lockie Galvin, who I know you were an owner of previously, Realm.
I'm still an owner.
Oh, you've held through.
Yeah, held through. The week that Jaden Campbell was a bit of a laid out, I, you know, they had a lot going on that week and accidentally had Jaden Campbell starting over Lachlan Galvin, and then, you know, just a whole lot of stuff happened. So I ended up just copping the AE that week, and now I've held both of them.
Yeah, good. Well, that's certainly Galvin, if he holds that spot, does look, I think he actually looks the pick of them. Dan, we've got a potential gift, a potential curse from the gods in Lincoln King Tongia. It's his first game, named at halfback for the Dragons. He's 198K. Lachlan Ilias is dropped, so he's there on merit. He's currently 1.5% owned, and in 1.1% of teams have brought him in. I am one of them at the moment. Jaden Campbell, I really think that cash that you can make from that downgrade to sort out the rest of your team, like genuinely my team with that trade and a boost makes it feel like a final team. Obviously, we've got to get through the buy period, so that's not going to be the case. But can you advocate for bringing in this guy on his first game where we're not going to see a price rise for two more matches?
Yeah, he feels like the one we've been waiting for. A cheapy option at that second 5'8 spot. The one that was promised. The new rise of the new king of the Dragons. New king. I am very, very happy to bring him in this week. The amount of balance in your team, the amount of strength in your second row, center wing, fullback. We already are all strong at front row, but this just really gets you strong across the board. And I hate having two 5'8s high premium. Like, and there's no way I'm touching any of the mid-range 5'8 options at this stage of the year. Tommy Dearden, I feel like you missed the boat as well. He, like a bit of a Jerome Luai last year, has a high ceiling, massive high ceiling as we saw, but he'll still end up averaging 50 to 60 for the season. So you can't go
he's a very known quantity.
Tommy Dearden. Yeah. So I think definitely if it opens up your team to really strengthen, solidify for the buys, get some absolute premiums like the likes of Eli Katoa in this week, huge downgrade option.
Realm, how are you going to be approaching the new king?
Yeah, look, I've watched him play New South Wales Cup, and he is an exciting attacking player, and he's performed really well this season too. So it is one that I've got my eye on, but it's not one that I'm convinced on, and that's kind of based off his output at the end of last year. Now, I don't know why, but Supercoach have got him as a base price player and have no history on him, but he played four games for us last year. The four last rounds of the year. Games, round 24, round 25, he only played 9 minutes, 17 minutes, so those ones can be wiped out. Then he played round 26 in the game we versus Parramatta, which they put 40 on us in the first half. We put 40 on them in the second half. And he got 62 points in 38 minutes, but those type of games we're just not seeing at this point of the season. So, again, that's one that I'm not really putting a lot of weight into. But then the final game of the year against Canberra, he played 80 minutes at 5'8 for us and scored 37 with a try as well. No LB, that was just purely base and the 17 points from the try. So I think Supercoach-wise, his output just isn't there. He does remind me a lot of Amone as well. You know, the former hammer-wielding 5'8 we had. So I just...
Yeah, junior.
Yeah, I don't love him I just want to get a look at him, see how he fits in the side, see if he's playing on the right-hand side or if they're moving Flano over as well. That's because I believe in New South Wales Cup, Jonah Glover's been playing our halfback and he's been on the right-hand side. So I don't know if they'd be moving King Tokyo to his unnatural side or what the go is there. There's a few things I'd want to wait and see on first.
Yeah, I agree with that from a traditional, I would generally be very hard against bringing in a player like this. But I'm sort of the view that what the trade-off that I can get here by getting Campbell out of my team and freeing up that money to be able to bring in, for instance, like for me, it would be a case of if I wanted to use my last boost, it'd be bringing Eli Katoa and Dylan Lucas along with King Togia. I just feel like you get so much from that. And the worst case scenario is you never really have to play this guy until probably round 12. What did Dragons play, 12 or 13? They missed 12.
We play 13. We missed 12.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter round 12 as long as you've got the numbers, because positionally it doesn't make any difference in round 12 because you only have 13 players that count anyway. So you don't actually need a 5'8 that week. Round 13, Munster may or may not back up. If he doesn't back up, then you might have to play him. I just think you won't have to play him until then. So I'm kind of willing to take a punt. If it doesn't work out, the bad scenarios here are he gets dropped after one or two games, obviously, and then you're stuck with that 198K. Dan, that's probably just a case of you swallow it. You've hopefully got some good times out the other side of that trade with, you know, Katoa or Lucas or Karaz or Herbie, whoever it might be. I feel like that downside is capped because of that. And best case, he holds his spot through and he averages 50 and he's off to the races as a cash cow.
Yeah, I think logistically as well, if he gets off to a flyer, his bubble is going to be around 11. And I think if you're not getting him this week and you're nearly going to have to hold Campbell till round 11, and then Campbell's nearly going to come back, because otherwise you're trading to, say, Dylan Brown to solidify that spot. And then if the King goes off, then you've got, say, a Munster and a Dill Brown. Maybe you have to swing Dill Brown to the halves or something. But he's definitely, if he goes off, you probably want him. So I'm going to take a flyer on it. And in regards to him getting dropped, we know that Flano's not going to drop his son, so he's only playing for one spot, really. So if he does get dropped, I don't think he goes to the bench. And I don't mind having enough there at the moment. I've only got one enough in the team. I can deal with 158. maybe even swinging Munster to Brown through the Origin period as well. So I just don't want that amount of cash at 5'8". So I'm happy to take a flyer on him.
Yep, yep. I'm firmly in that boat. Realm, how are you handling Jaden Campbell?
Yeah, this is one that I'm most likely moving on this week. Who to? I'm unsure. I have thought about Kentuckia. I have thought about Dylan Brown because he's playing 12 and 13, which is huge. Obviously, we know his pedigree when it comes to Supercoach. He's been a 75 average guy for a couple of years, and now Moses is back. I do like that opens up Dealbag's game a little bit more. But yeah, it's just it doesn't feel like I'm getting a gun for a gun. So if I feel like I'm only going to sell Jaden Campbell this week if I'm using that, you know, 80 to 100K to upgrade elsewhere.
Yes.
And that can coincide with going Gutherson out. If I'm going Gutherson down to a Sharp, like I talked about before, and Campbell down to a Dylan Brown, I can go a Thomas Kant or Hubner up to a Herbie or someone like that. So that would give me the cash to do that. No, yeah, I think that's the really only like reason I'd do that.
Yep, yeah. Just on Kentuckia, with thanks to Rugby League Fantasy Pros, from 14 games in the last sort of end of 23 to the start of 25, I've got only up to round 2 at the moment. The data has not refreshed, but he's averaged 64 points in reserve grade in 80-minute games, which is, and that's 23 in base and 30 in base plus power. So
he doesn't goal kick, does he?
He doesn't goal kick, no.
Yes.
He scored in those 14 games. He scored in 5 individual games. So
yeah,
he can
this
find the stripe,
he's been,
which is good.
It's really
and
solid.
I've heard he's been playing really well, yeah.
Yeah, and he's had like 3 tries, 9 tries here. You know, he doesn't mind an offload, a forced dropout, tackling at 95%. So yeah, he's been very solid in NSFL's Cup side.
All right, guys.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
I'm going to give halfback the flick this week just because I don't think anyone really is trading in halfback. There's not that much. Cleary is obviously on the horizon with the round 11 bye before round 12 with Origin. So there'll be some decisions around Cleary in the next couple of weeks. But we're going to give it the miss for this week and move straight to second row forward, where there is certainly a lot of trading going on. And I'm going to start at one place and one place only, and that is Dylan Lucas, who came back from a hamstring on the weekend with a score in the 60s. I'm just going to check exactly what that was. 60. I don't have it in front of me. I think 62,
63 with a line break assist, I believe. The rest
so a very promising return. He played 77 minutes. He's currently 37.6% owned, which is it's higher than I thought. He's 10% brought in this week. So super coaches are onto it. He's very pleasing to the eye. He obviously started his first 2 games with an 83 average before doing that hamstring. I think we're all pretty aligned here that he's a very priority trade in this week. Realm, we'll start with you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he'd be right up there. And he's really the same level as the Herbie Karaz types that we mentioned, unless you're putting him up into RF, where he's very much in the case of a Eli Katoa, Ola Kawatu level. So he's a gun regardless, and that flexibility just adds so much onto it as well. With the flex, if you're not running 3 gun fullbacks or anything like that, it does help out a lot. Yeah, I was lucky enough to get him in last week. I did have the option to go him, Herbie or Karaz, and then I'm going Lucas just because he was at his lowest price that he probably will be this season. So I figured I'll get him at the cheapest. Herbie and Karaz won't fluctuate too much. So I'll take the punt now.
Yep. Yep. I'm firmly looking at bringing him in this week. I was an owner before he got injured. I let him go last week. Dan, as a physiotherapist, second game back, it's obviously still a bit of a risk, but it's got to be the reward it outweighs the risk here. He's got to break even at 47, and he's obviously got that huge ceiling still.
Yeah, the simple maths is he's top 3 second row forwards, big base attacking potential to maybe not rival the likes of Katoa and Ola Kawatu, but certainly right up there. Dual helps. It's definitely worth the risk. The Knights have a great buy schedule. He's essential in the next few weeks and essential for round 12.
Yep. I just briefly, you mentioned him at center wing there, Realm. I actually really like him at 2RF. Like Dan said, I think he's a top, certainly top one or maybe two second row forward during the bye period. But I feel like with him up there, it gives you a bit more opportunity to go with those sort of more high ceiling guys at center wing. Are you going to keep him at your center wing, or are you going to look to get him up to the 2RF?
No, I think just with those trade plans I mentioned before, if the route I'm going is to aim for a centre wing this week and moving a Thomas Kant out or something like that, it would be moving Lucas up.
Yep, yep. All right, Dan, the next one on our agenda is Eli Katoa. Now, he's a really, really interesting one this week. He obviously had that 38 a couple of weeks ago, which means that he's only 689K now with a break-even of 111. They play the Raiders, which is a relatively hard matchup for Melbourne, just given their dream run that they're on sort of at the moment with fixtures. Canberra obviously in great form, no injuries. I'm really torn on this because I'm planning a boost to Katoa, and I sort of just want to get him in as soon as possible. But if he can sort of stay under that 75 this week, then he's going to drop a bit more cash and I can play someone like a Matty Nicholson instead. Where would you be on the Katoa buy? Is that break even putting you off at all?
The break even is not putting me off. On the weekend, two try contributions and a try for a 70. With those sort of attacking numbers, I would have expected closer to 100, and that's what I'd want to see. So his base output's gone down recently. I'm not exactly sure what that is. I feel this week as well on matchups, you want to be on the left against Canberra because their right side is diabolical. Like Dolphins still, he went through them several times and should have gone through them more early on. So I don't think he's on the right side for this week. Plus the other benefit of not picking him up, he's got the 111 break even. So yeah, I can see a world where you don't need him. In saying all that, 680K is not a bad price for him. So if you're just looking to solidify, if you've got the likes of Dylan Lucas already, if you've got some other premiums there, I can see him as a buy to lock away probably for the rest of the year.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to take that on board. That was pretty sage advice. There is something niggling at me about these lower scores and his base pet. Like, he just has so much opportunity for attack. On another night last week, Realm, that could have easily been try, assist, try instead of the contributions.
Absolutely, and we know he's got that attack in him and he can just pull something out of his ass that not many other 2RFs can really do. But we'll play devil's advocate here compared to Danny. I am an Eli Katoa owner, I'll preface it by saying that, but there is an argument that you can just wait till round 13 for him when he's up against the Gold Coast and the Cowboys. We know he and Jerome Hughes aren't being selected for Origin, so that kind of edge combination chemistry is going to be solid throughout, but I don't know. I've been watching him pretty closely as an owner, and it looks like he's playing injured, or there's something going on. Like he's not going through and busting a ton of tackles and offloading every chance he gets. Like the last 3 weeks, he's had two tackle busts, and then the last 2 weeks, he's had three offloads with only two of them effective. Missing a lot of tackles as well. The last 3 weeks, he's missed six, missed eight, missed four. And yeah, he's had a couple more runs than normal, but it just feels like he's not doing much with it. Which is, I don't want to say concerning as an owner, because I do feel pretty confident he's going to average 70 plus regardless. But whether or not he's the right pickup now, I'd honestly lean on the side of no, just because, you know, missing around 12, I think there's other options you could aim for that will play that 12 and 13. And Eli Katoa is still going to be gettable that round 13 at the same price he is now.
Did I confuse? I think I confused myself. I think I was very much talking.
You said no.
As
you said no buy this week.
Yeah, I was saying don't buy, but I said if you want to pick him up to solidify, it's absolutely fine. So probably too much.
Yeah, see, that's the part I'm playing devil's advocate at. I think there's better gets now, and if you want to buy him for the season, I would do it after he misses that first buy.
Somewhere else, Realm, that buyers this week are looking is Bo Fermor, who's 553K dual centre wing 2RF as well. His break even's minus 18. He's obviously done really well when he's played at second row. Like, he's had those few games at center wing where he's sort of dropped a 28 and a 32, I think. Look, I think you're going to agree. I'm just one, I'm worried about Origin, but two, I just think he's going to, like, just a chance to miss too many games. And if I'm picking someone up at 550K at 2RF, I want to make sure they're there for round 12 or round 13.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the point I said before about if I'm buying someone that's not playing round 12, they have to be an undeniable gun, putting up big scores week in, week out. And, you know, it's like if you're comparing him to an Eli Katoa, you're much more confident in buying Eli Katoa now for the season-long hold rather than a Beau Fermor. And, you know, at this time last week, was anyone looking at Beau Fermor as a potential buy? No, not really, because he'd had one score above 70 so far this season. His games in the centres, he was scoring below 50, and below 40 even. And that's in 80 minutes as well. So, and that's the thing with the Titans. He can be shoved out there at any point. You know, if there's one injury to anywhere in the back line, Beau Fermor's going to the centres.
Yep. Dan, a couple of cheap guys who are in negative break-evens this week. Kane Bradley, was he named? Actually, sorry, I didn't see that.
No, Farlongo's anyway, back on the wing.
Didn't he get concussed?
He's been named on the wing again, I believe. He's been named, I'm pretty sure. Let me just pull that up.
That's why my notes are no good. Cause
yeah, Farlongo wing.
Okay. Yeah, Bradley's so extended. We'll skip Kane Bradley, but Hugo Savala, Dan, been much chat about this guy. He's dual halfback, second row forward, 233K minus 11. He's got a few issues in my mind. One, I just don't like his involvement at all. He got some attack in a high-scoring game on the weekend. And he's also got Sam Walker, who probably comes back round 13, it's looking like at this stage. How much is he really going to make? And look, I can see it as a, like, I see people wanting to downgrade. It's just, I don't know. He doesn't really sit quite right for me.
You don't need him this time of year. He could turn into an absolute auto emergency nightmare going back to the bench as well when Sammy Walker goes. You'd want to hold him for that round 12, and you might be holding and then he's not even in the side, you know, going through that bye period. So very easy to miss Savala this week. You're really hoping that he somehow pulls out a couple of attacking stats over the next few weeks. I don't see him with a ceiling above 80.
No, and he's an AE nightmare in the purest sense. They do have a nice Origin buy, but he's not going to be there because Sam Walker will be back. Realm, Tom Cant, Dylan Egan, and Lockie Hubner, three very popular sells this week. Can you, with the teams, obviously Cant's out of the side altogether, Hubner's gone to the bench, and Egan has finally been named in the 11. Can you just give me a selling priority there?
Yeah, I think it's tough between Tom Cant and Hubner. I think with Egan starting outright, and we know he's moved to the starting side multiple times now, I think it's pretty safe to say that he's fine as a hold. Obviously, he's assuming he's getting decent minutes. If he's getting what he did last week, then, you know, there might be some issues. But compared to the other two, he's definitely the hold out of the three. Tom Cant, him being out of the side might be a blessing in disguise a little bit. Him being on the bench last week for 31, that very much hurts his cash grove, obviously, and that means he's pretty much topped out. However, if he's not in the 17, then he's not going to be losing any cash. Whereas Hubner coming off the bench, if he's playing 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and he could be at the point where he's losing cash with his BE at a 55. So I think if you can afford the 50K difference between Cant and Hubner, you could possibly go Hubner out over him. The only reason that I think Cant could be the sell out of the two for specific sides is that he's not playing, or at this stage, I would assume he's not playing round 10. If you're missing, you know, like myself, if you're missing so many Roosters and already have a couple of Nafs and have a Jaden Campbell if you're not moving him this week, stuff like that, then there is a case to hold Hubner just as a warm body.
Yep. That's the only case I could make for Hubner. You mentioned that BE at 55, his cash growth is going to be slow from here. He doesn't have a ceiling, so he's not going to bink an 80 or a 90 with a try or multiple tries in a week. I'd be getting him out ASAP now that he's on the bench, and I'll be looking to sell him this week. Egan, starting, hold. Cant is interesting just because I think that I'm going to try and hold Cant if I can, only because if he can get back in the side in the next week or two, he's such a gun from a Supercoach output perspective that, and with the Knights run, that I'd actually want him. And he's probably going to be a buy if he does manage to get back in that starting team. So I kind of want to delay the inevitable a bit there, but it's hard to put him up as a sell after Dylan Egan. So yeah, I'll be looking at it that way. Front row forward, gents. I want to preface this chat by I want to center it around the duels. So we know that Payne Haas and Terrell May, or highly likely Terrell May, will be in Origin, and unless he's sort of that roost, whatever happened at the Roosters, he's going to infiltrate Blues camp as well. But not sure Laurie Daly would be able to show his face if he doesn't pick him. They're going to be playing Origin, so good chance they might not back up from Origin in round 13. You're going to need at least one front rower in round 13. And so having that dual guy, and sorry, I should mention Tino in this context as well, because obviously he can be flicked up. So we should get one, but if we might be missing two with restings. There's some really, really prevalent dual guys now who are 2RF and front row forward, and they're not just relevant, they're actually like putting out gun scores. And I speak of Aaron Clark, Toby Couchman, obviously a lot owned Naf White already, but Xavier Willison, who's a front row forward but will likely get dual in the updates. Dan, I'll start with you. Any of those guys kind of on your buy period radar, I suppose? It's not really the week to be trading, but I mean, Aaron Clark, for instance, has a 22 BE this week, priced at a sort of 56, 57 average. Yeah, how are you feeling about these dual 2RF front row forwards?
None of them. I'm not looking at any of them.
Like at any point?
Pretty simple. Well, right now, no. Like, so you, especially for buy planning, like just hold those big boys you got. Like we can make moves around the buy period if we need to, if there's injuries or anything like that. But I wouldn't be bringing in, we saw with Toby Couchman on the weekends, like he can go a sub 40. So you're not playing him. Sometimes you're not going to even be playing him in your 17 with the strength of sides. I would be looking to go up to the likes of an AFB this week. And I'm certainly considering AFB to have that set three gun absolute premium rotation in the front row forward. Seems nice now to actually have Corey Horsburgh still in the side. I think he might come in handy round 13. I think he'll back up, particularly being off if he plays Origin round 12. I don't think he's getting huge minutes there, so I think he'll back up. But I'm not looking at any of those mid to mid premium front row forwards, particularly right now.
I think AFB might have an injury. He's obviously been named. But yeah, he did come off right at the end of the game. He had, I think it was a shoulder injury potentially, so just one to keep an eye on. But a very interesting take. I'm on the same camp as in I'd be getting these guys closer to Origin. We spoke about Couchman last week. They're trades you can make to cover guys who don't back up. Realm, how are you approaching front row as we come into this bye period? I presume you're a Haas May owner, and obviously Tino with some flex at 2RF.
Yeah. Tino, Horse, Haas, May, the normal four suspects for everyone's front row forward this year. The one that I really, really want for this buy period is Joe Tarpany. His price has just gotten ridiculously high, so it's hard to take him over a AFB who is about 100K cheaper, ridiculously. I think, obviously, we know Tarpany, the Kiwi, he's not going to be playing any Origin, and he's always come out around 9-10 period, and his points per game goes massive compared to what it is at the start of the season. However, this year it looks like that's just how he started the year. So he's at almost an 80 average. He's about 750K. However, now he's got the B of 104. He comes up against Melbourne, the Bulldogs. So I think if I can aim to get him maybe around 11, hopefully he's dropped to about 700K from there when he's up against the Titans and the Warriors, only misses around 15 and 19. I think that's the main target for me for that period. However, if I can get AFB alongside that, I definitely will be aiming for it.
Yeah, no, that's good advice, boys. I'm pretty comfortable with that. And I think definitely getting that third gun front rower. I actually sold Horse a couple of weeks ago, which I'm not unhappy with. His minutes just haven't been there. And it allowed me to do some other stuff. He's obviously a watch through that period, and I think he'll be sellable as well. Down to hooker, Connor Watson. So he was the most purchased hooker last week. I don't know what everyone was doing. We flagged that he's got Origin and the Roosters, he's going to play about one game in 6 weeks. The question is that I have for you guys, and Realm, I'll ask you first, is when do you look at selling Connor Watson? So he's got a break even at 70 this week, so I can't see why anyone would bother jumping off this week. He had one down game in a weird game where they smashed the Dragons. He's 34% owned in the top 10%. 5% of teams have traded him out already. Would you be looking at sort of a round 10 sell on the buy, or wait till that round 12 just to make sure he gets named in Origin?
Yeah, I think. See, that's tough because I would assume he's in Origin.
I think he's the ideal 14 for them.
But yeah, he's the ideal 14 for them. Basically, can cover anywhere. So I would probably look at moving on next week. However, if you are in a position where there is a hooker you did have in mind, but they aren't playing till later in the round, and like we talked about before with the VC loop, if you've got, say, Connor Watson and Sandon Smith up there, maybe just wait and see what your VC does. If you can get away with using Connor Watson or Sandon Smith as the loop for round 10, then I'd definitely advocate for that. But if you can't, then I don't see an issue with trading him because you're only going to miss out on his round 11 score. And then, yeah, God knows
which
how many
games
he'll play
as well.
Exactly. Yeah, he might score 55, 60, but that's all just tackles, no attack.
Yep. Dan, a couple of other guys who are on the chopping block for Super Coaches this week. Tom Starling, whose break-even snuck up to 81. We spoke about him at the top of the pod. He's useful, though, I think, like in a position that I'm not really comfortable trading in. I'm just going to hold him through. If he loses 50K, he loses 50K. It's not the end of the world. And then Max Plath, who was named to play with a mystery after having that foot injury, but this week he's nowhere to be seen in the team sheet. He's 575K, break even of 119. That's like he's not massively owned, but I'd probably be looking at chipping him out now.
I'm not sure. I'd suggest, do you think Max Plath is any chance for Origin?
Probably not now that he's been injured, but
I'd still have him in the mix if he's playing if he plays round 10, 11, I'd think he's deservedly in the mix for the 14, 17 role.
If I was a Max Plath and Sandon Smith owner, I would be very tempted to get Kalani going this week as enough. I think Sandon Smith is a play. He's probably hooker number one for most people this week again. So I would nearly hold Max Plath and have him shifting from second row to hooker with Kalani going, in the chance that Plath does come back and play the bye rounds. If not, you could probably then shift Max Plath to Jeremy Marshall-King, who I think is probably the best hooker for the bye period. That he would really be the only one that I would be looking to trade in at hooker at the moment. And as Realm said, for Watson, I think I'd be happy to cop the AE next week. I just really don't want to make a trade at hooker at all in the next few rounds.
No, I'm in the same boat. Producer Gramsy just letting us know that he's getting going. So and I'm talking about Kalani going. He's staying till the end of the pod, thankfully. But that's a warning for people. But I don't really know how much that can go wrong, Gramsy.
Gramsy's getting him. Kalani's going to be playing 10 minutes a game and scoring 4 points.
Yeah. Going is the end game enough everyone wants, I think.
Big time.
Yeah, so picking him up early, as long as you kind of have a look at your buy numbers, but
it's tricky because I've got two nuffs already, so I don't really want another one just yet. Just with the like, I'm so scared about round 13. These minor buy rounds, they're just going to be so tricky.
I've got two, Simpkins and going. So I went early. I had Harry Grant and Sandon Smith. I brought Harry Grant in the last round he played, and then you know he died after that one round. So I just said screw it. I don't want to care about hooker.
Yep.
Don't want to fight him. Then I just went going then. And I just thought I'll just cop Sandon Smith for a few weeks up until the bye period at least, and then work out what I want to do from there. But you know, if at the moment Jaden Camp was really enough for me, so is Tom Cart. So I've got to think about moving those guys on. So I'm really down to two nuffs.
Veers to the right, inside.
Oh,
Bateman!
Wow.
Yes, Canberra.
All right, boys. Captain's chat for the week. Dan, start with you. What are you looking at for captains?
Still steaming after last week, so I'm looking a bit maybe a bit pod at the moment. I have some decent AEs this week. I think I'm trying to get rid of Hubner if I can. And if I get rid of Hubner, I've got a very good AE options. Like, they're all nearly playable. I've only got, I think, Billy Smith and Toya as my worst. And the new king.
The new king.
Yeah, sorry. Forget about him. He's expect a 60 from him. He'll be fine. And so I've gone Karaz VC. I think that'll be a very pod VC because it's so late. And then I'm going captain on Pappenhausen.
Yep. So Karaz, Dan, is the fourth highest projected player of the week on baller ratings, baller projections. He's 81 points projected this week. And obviously he's got a high ceiling against that as well with the tries that are on offer. So yeah, certainly Pappy has to be an option for me. I think, I don't love that they're the last game of the round. And then if he's not kicking goals for whatever reason, like I don't know why he wouldn't, how beat up is the Suncorp turf going to be by game number 8?
Especially with the weather. This apparently supposed to be raining all weekend in Brisbane too. So that turf. Yeah, look,
I do have the chop out for Payne Haas in the second round last game as well. So definitely, if it's raining there, if I turn my turncoat on Pappy, I think Payne Haas is an option there as well.
Yep. I'm going to be looking at Drinky again at least for a VC. I just think. I've loved the way he's been playing, and I think that 132 had been coming. That was obviously a great fixture last week. I do think the Warriors, like Dan said, can play quite defensive. They really did that against the Roosters in a game earlier in the year. I don't love it, but I do still think I think the Warriors have outperformed their ability, generally speaking. I don't think they're as good a side as their ladder position suggests. So I still do like that matchup for Drinkwater, and I think he'll put on a bit of a show. Realm, I'm still can't really get my head into this captaining Payne Haas and Terrell May business. It just doesn't feel right to me. Where are you on that? And are they
no? It's plans? Still there's like a mental block.
Yeah.
When I'm going to captain a forward over a James Tedesco or a Pappenhausen or something like that. So no, I get what you're saying, and I feel like it will come to a point. Well, I'll just have to concede defeat and chuck the C on one of them. And it could be as early this week. So I'm a bit undecided. The only real standout options I see this week, there is Pappy as well, like you mentioned, but what does scare me is Canberra's record against fullback so far this year. At the moment, they are the best defensive side to them. Their biggest score they've conceded was last week, a 74, which was against the Hammer. Other than that, they haven't conceded over a 60 besides that matchup. So that does scare me off a little bit. But at the same time, Melbourne haven't been at their best game, so you'd expect a bit of a bounce back. And they love playing at Suncorp as well, unless it's against the Dolphins. So I would expect a big Melbourne game. The other one I really like is Tedesco against the Finns. He's always a really safe option. So if I was to go the captaincy on Tedesco, I would be going the VC Hines. Which against Parramatta, I don't absolutely hate anyway.
Yep.
And the other option would be just VC Teddy and C Terrell May. May against the Dragons, our middles aren't our strong point, especially with Hamish Stewart starting at 13. While I think he's a great player and he's got a lot of potential, he's just still so raw when it comes to first grade. So Terrell May could just eat him alive.
Yeah, if I was in your shoes, Realm, I would 100% be doing the Tedesco VC, May C. I think they are the two top baller projected players this week. May 92, which I know you think's a bit unders as well, Realm, and Tedesco 87. I think the big thing for Tedesco captains or vice captains out there is you've still got a bit of a mortgage on, like, from an ownership perspective. So he's still relatively low owned relative to these other popular players. So if you can get him to go nuts as captain again, similar to last week, that actually puts a really big dent in the field for guys like me who can't actually get Teddy this week. So I'd have no hesitation putting the VC or C on Teddy.
Yeah, and I just think it's similar to Nicho Hynes. Like, not many people are going to have him in captaincy plans nowadays. Mm. So if he's the VC against Parramatta and they're putting 40 on them and Hynes is getting a 120, no one else is really going to have that in their plans.
No, that's a good shout. Dan?
Yeah, I like that massively. Just circling back, Terrell May, Rome, you said he's a captain option. I think we'll give some Gramsy some homework this week. What is the highest score for a player who gets no major attacking stats, no try contributions, and doesn't goal kick. Like 118 on the weekend with none of that, I think that's probably probably the highest score ever.
Well, no one ever plays 80 minutes like it with that amount of work rate. It has to be the highest score ever.
Was that going back to like Gallon days, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Corey Parker. Oh, well, Corey Parker goal kick, right? So it was Gallon. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the safest captain option, I think, is Terrell May. I think what we've seen in the last two rounds, you can definitely bank on getting at least 85 plus if he's getting those same amount of minutes. So I'm nearly reverting back to front row forwards and meat and potato captains.
Good shout from Gramsy. Anthony Lafranchi maybe put up a number, but that, I can't imagine
he would have attacked. He would have got a few tries.
Yep. All right, boys. Last segment, pod of the week, and I'm going to start with you, Realm. You're our guest, where are you heading for your pod of the week?
Yeah, I'm going to actually throw two at you just because I was so undecided going in. The original one I wanted, you've actually taken from me, so I'll let you have the field there. But the two I'm throwing out, one's a 2RF, and it's Viliami Kikau. So we've seen him come into a really strong start of the year. Had the injury, but he's still put up decent scores since coming back. Even with them, you know, getting that pretty bad loss last week, he still put up a 68. And this week he comes up against the Titans. He's obviously missing Matty Burton. However, we saw what happened to Jacob Preston when he moved to the left when Bailey Haywood was there. He was still getting a lot of attacks, so I can't imagine that changes with Kikau. And the Titans are conceding a lot of points to left second rowers. So that is one that I will be keeping an eye on. I don't know if it's a move I'll make, but it's one that I wouldn't talk people out of for sure.
You've obviously been listening to the Sunday Snap Realm. Bought Kikau a couple of weeks ago and is a big, big fan. I really love the shape for Kikau as well. Like, they're running him on those sweeps now as well. Like you said, they're very left side dominant. Burton out this week isn't great for that, but it's still that's the shapes they're running, and Kikau's a huge part of that left side attack. So I really like that pod move.
Absolutely. And the other one that I have, and this is one that I'm really, really tempted to go this week that I haven't actually mentioned so far, it's Kale Iroh. Well, he's now changed his name to KL.
Name, yeah, KL.
Yeah.
What's going on there? I saw that.
That's his, not his birth name, but that's the name that is tribute to his father or something along those lines. So he's asked for it to be officially changed to that on all NRL
KL
type stuff.
Both capitals.
Yeah, well, we've seen how good he was at the start of the year. A 65, 111, 85, then a 61 in half a game with five tries. Then we saw Haroti, who realistically is a below average first grader, come into that side and get a lot of attack and was averaging mid-70s for that run up until the injury. And now Iroh comes back into a game against Parramatta, who can see the second most points to left centres. Then Manly, so up against Garrick, who we know isn't the best defender. And then against Melbourne, who can see the most points to left centres and obviously plays round 12.
Love it.
So, yeah.
I can see Dan's mind ticking over here. Dan's so
Maybe that's one to cut out.
I was planning on bringing in Karaz, but that's made me think maybe get Hero to take him on.
Well, he's really, really up there with Herbie and that. Like, his BP is unbelievable. We know he can find attack. The Sharks are a great side on their day, and their day happens more often than not. And, you know, like we said earlier in the pod as well, their team really stays together during that bye period, unlike other sides that get completely messed around. So that's one I would happily take on the Herbie and Karaz types with.
Dan, your pot of the week?
Yeah, I might have to join this Discord realm. Bringing some good vibes.
Dan, you were in. You booted out. You got booted out.
sorry, not the Discord. Whatever the Patreon.
The Realm. Realm and Myth. Yeah, Realm and Myth. Yeah,
very good. I'm nearly. I think I'm bringing in AFB or Kikau this week to strengthen up my second row. So definitely a good call on those. Good to affirm my own thinking as well. That's nice. But my put of the week this week is the highest base plus power fullback from last week, just re-signed his contract to stay with the Waz, is Charns Nicol-Klokstad. Got the Cowboys this week. I think they're still super leaky. He's 560K. He plays round 12. We know we want those premium, maybe don't call him premium, but one fullbacks for that round 12. If he can go on a tear for the next four, play round 12, and then you can trade him across to the likes of Drinkwater, I think that's a huge pod move. Nobody's going to own him. And we know he's got a quite a high ceiling as well. And if he shows those base plus powers numbers over the next few, we know he's going to be consistently getting those 60s.
Very interesting, Dan. I couldn't possibly bring him in, but I don't hate the move for someone looking to make a bit of ground. And like you said, they play every ground now to round 14. So yeah, don't mind it at all. My pot of the week is Fletcher Sharp, who we have spoken about ad nauseum already, so I won't go any further. I will say that
Is he a pod though? Hold on. Is he a pod?
Yeah, he's owned by less than 10%.
How many are you trading?
He's 7 point only 0.1% so far. In the top 10%.
So, yeah, so he's currently 8% owned in the top 10%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, he's definitely in pod territory, and he's we'll see how long that. I think he's won big. He hasn't had a big score, so that's why the masses haven't really flocked to him just yet. But that's the key to Supercoach. You got to jump on him before they get that big score, and you want to own him. So yeah, I'm pitching up for Sharp. I'm an owner, and I think people should be buying him. This is obviously big vibes pick of the week. So if you are going to Magic Round, make sure you do a vibes pick as your pot of the week. Can't go wrong. That's what Supercoach is all about, having fun and enjoying the ride. So guys, been an amazing show tonight. Realm, thank you so much for coming on. Reminder to listeners, they can hit you up in the SC Hub on Discord, Supercoach Hub. They can find you on socials, @RugbyLeagueRealm. And all the best, mate, for the rest of the year. And looking forward to seeing you up at Magic Round this week.
Beautiful. Thanks. Same to you.
Cheers, Danny boy. All the best for your team this weekend. You've had the yo-yo season. Hopefully the yo-yo is on the upswing this week.
Yeah, cheers, Matty. We'll be back.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Been a great show, and enjoy your Magic Round and Supercoach Round 9.